so that my skin would be lighter, and so that I could escape the feelings that I had about not being as beautiful, as acceptable, as lovable.
If we're all just hanging around and a dark-skinned girl will pass by, they'll be, oh, well, she's pretty for a dark-skinned girl. And I'm like, what is that supposed to mean?
I used to wish that I can wake up one day lighter or wash my face and think that it will change. I thought it was dirt and I tried to clean it off, but it wouldn't come off.
Just doing something small as standing in front of the class to do show and tell. I wouldn't look up. I wouldn't make eye contact with anyone. I would hold my toy really tight because I knew my toy loved me, even if they didn't.
Here comes Blackie. Here comes Tar Baby. I remember one in particular, they used to say, you stayed in the oven too long. And that was really hurtful.
They would do it every single day without let up. On the playground, in the classroom, in the cafeteria, just constantly got it. So I didn't really have a high self-esteem.
It was so damaging. It made us feel like we weren't wanted, that we were less than.
My mother and her friend, we were driving somewhere, and she's bragging on me. She said, my daughter is beautiful. She's got great eyelashes, she's got the cheekbones, she's got great lips. And then she's going on and she adds, could you imagine if she had any lightness in her skin at all? She'd be gorgeous. And just that last little part, just all that pride that I had about her, you know, having her brag on me, just dissipated. And I think that moment is when I really became aware.
She'll be the smart child. And why is she the smart child?
Because she is white.
Okay. Show me the dumb child. And why is she the dumb child?
Because she plays.
Well, show me the ugly child. And why is she the ugly child?
Because she plays.
Show me the good-looking child. And why is she the good-looking child?
Because she likes skating.
I think I remember most saying that, you know, if I had a little girl, I didn't want her to be dark. I remember saying that. I didn't want her to be dark like me.
When you're around so many people that you trust, you know, simply because you're looking at another black person, you're thinking, oh, they're black, I'm black. You know, they're not gonna have anything derogatory to say about me. But when you live so many years with people having certain judgments relative to your skin tone, you start to believe it.
A friend of mine had recently had a baby. And so, you know, it was my first time seeing a baby, and the baby was beautiful. And she said, girl, I'm so glad she didn't come out dark. And when she said it, it felt like a dagger, like someone took a dagger and stuck it in my heart, because I was used to expecting hearing things like that from other races. But this was someone that I considered to be my sister.
Skin color amongst the black community is a huge issue in our time.
This is not a phenomenon. It's just the reality in the black culture.
I believe we didn't like ourselves. I'm sure it started with slavery, but I think we kept the vicious cycle going.
I mean, you know, dark-skinned women, I don't really like dark-skinned women. Like, they look funny beside me. So, you know, I'd rather not date a dark-skinned woman.
You rather light-skinned girl?
Yeah, light-skinned pretty girl, long hair, don't care.
My experience with black men has been, I'm exotic, I'm beautiful, they're fascinated by me. Behind closed doors. But when it came to dating, coming to the front door, taking me out in public, doesn't happen.
The darker you are, it's more of a sexual approach. It's more of a, relationship without much meaning sort of approach than it is, I could get married to that woman and have a few kids.
All my lighter friends always had those boyfriends. They always were seen together, but if somebody wanted to date me, it was, I'll meet you after school. It was more of a hidden thing. Nobody ever wanted to just be with you.
There are places that I've gone that there are just a lot of whites, and they would tell me, you have such beautiful skin. Is that your hair? Did you dye? Is that your natural color? And, it's really questionable to me. Why is it that they think that I'm so beautiful and my own people don't see any beauty in me at all?
There you go, Rob. You can feel the emotion in this.
Yes.
And on this trailer, folks, some of the ladies are crying.
Yes.
Because they have some things that's been built up inside of them. And I want to thank producer Bill Duke for putting us together. We are very, 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 very fortunate to have the one and only. You've seen him in a bunch of movies going all the way back to a car wash, right, Rob?
Car wash.
Bill Duke is on the phone line. How you doing today, sir?
God bless you, my brother.
Well, thank you for being available on today's show, and I want to thank John for making this happen, John Covington. Tell me, Dark Girls, did you do everything that you wanted to do with this project?
First of all, I want to thank you both, and thank you, John, for making this happen. Thank you for having me on. My co-executive producing partner and director, Chan Berry, and myself, we're very, very pleased with the reception we've gotten around the country and around the world on this. But we want to do more. We want to create curriculums in schools around this film, and so that our young people will have a different understanding and context within which to think about themselves and other people around them. But I think it needs to be taught at an early age because there's so much other stuff bombarding you in terms of standards of beauty, dark, you know, the bad guys always wear black, you know, night is always sinister, you know.
Right.
And somehow we want to change that. We have to start changing it early. So if we could have schools help us put curriculums in schools that started at a very early age, letting people know that God does not make mistakes and that the way you were born is fine, that would be great.
Do you believe this movie has changed some people's perception?
Well, based upon after every screening so far, we've had a Q&A. Myself or my partner has been, my producing partner has been at the screening. And to see the reaction of women, basically, what we have heard is that it's given them a voice. And so I think in that sense, hopefully that, you know, it has created some ease in their hearts and souls and their spirits and enables them to talk about things they've held in for a very long time.
Even though the film is called Dark Girls, this film also can, I mean, boys, men can relate to this, right?
Every human being on the earth that has dealt with this can relate to it. And really what it deals with, my friend, is, yeah, color is the surface of it, but it deals more with self-esteem. And it deals with the fact that people think God makes mistakes, which he does not.
Right.
But we're told by beauty standards that here's the irony. The great irony for us is, while, you know, skin bleach cream is a globally selling business, around $40 billion, in countries around the world,
right,
people trying to lighten their skins, and the irony is that in America and other places, white females go to tanning salons twice a week sometimes to get their skins darker, Botox their lips, get butt lifts, and crinkle their hair to look more ethnic. Don't you find that a little ironic?
Right, right. We're trying to change, and they're trying to change to
be like us,
to our image. I want to ask you this. Mr. Bill Duke, what do you think all this started? What do you think all this madness of we want to be light-skinned or, no, those folks who do want to be. I'm proud to be black, and I understand. I understand where I'm at. And it took me a while. As a young kid, had to deal with that because you associated certain things with success and positive stuff because you didn't have those images. But I want to know, what do you think the root of all this come from?
Well, the film examines this issue from a global, sociological, psychological, quantum physics, historical point of and media point of view. And what we discovered is that in slavery, for example, there were the house Negroes and the field Negroes.
Mm-hmm.
And the house Negroes had privileges because really the field Negroes were raped by Massa, and their children turned out to be a mixture between black and white. And as they grew, there were certain privileges that they had that field dark people did not have. And so this has been passed on to us, both psychologically, spiritually, on a subliminal level, and media helps it because if you go back to the early days of media, blacks, we were buffoons and maids and the rest of it, and dark-skinned man was always dead. I don't know if you've seen the most recent controversy over this car ad.
Yeah.
Where the
yeah.
Where the it's for a commercial, and the on the commercial, when they sent out the listing for people to apply, it says one of the people in the commercial is a black man, and he's a car salesman. They wanted him to be jovial, but not too dark. Now this just happened recently. So what I'm saying is we've inherited these values, and they're reinforced through media. And as a result, there are two sins. The sin of commission is when I say that if you look like this, you're stupid, ugly, a buffoon, or you're dangerous, or can't be trusted. That's the sin of I'm making a committed statement about you. What's more insidious is the we call it sin of omission, and that is whenever there's anything of value, beauty, something that's a whole family or whatever it is, you're not there.
Mm.
Subliminally, by omitting you to a child that's forming its opinion of itself, if it never sees itself in a positive way, its subliminal thought is, I want to be like that which does not look like me, because I'm never in anything positive.
Mm. Well, we draw that conclusion. Yeah. I want to ask you, producer Bill Duke is on the phone line, and you've been in so many films, I can't even start to go into all the films you've been in through. But I want to know, did you ever deal with this personally as a big 6'4", tall, dark-skinned African-American man?
Oh, I still deal with it today. I mean, I can go back, but I mean, you know, if I get on an elevator and a woman gets on the elevator, a white female, there's a discomfort there many times because, I mean, I'm not saying clutching the purse, but there's a greater holding of the purse, let's say.
Right.
Going back throughout my history, I mean, you know, I didn't go to my senior prom. You know, I wasn't. In those days, the pretty boys were the lighter-skinned boys with, you know, it had gray eyes or green eyes and with what they call good hair.
Mm-hmm.
That means it's like the Snow and Blow Club that used to be in Harlem. If your skin was almost as white as snow and your hair blew in the wind, you get in the club. Well, I definitely could not get in that club.
Wow.
And so I was called in kindergarten a nigger the first day of kindergarten.
Wow.
I went home and asked my mom if she could bleach my skin. I saw my sister and went through in terms of people calling her ugly and tar baby and all these other kinds of things. When I, my first job, as a director, I drove up to the studio gate. I had a suit on. I had my nice car, and the gate guard asked me, and I'm quoting now,
mm-hmm.
"Who are you delivering for?"
Wow.
So
wow.
The thing, I mean, I've had so many things, brother, that I can't even. I could give you a list of things that you cannot believe that. But you know, if you keep God in your keep your hand in God's hand, and you have something that continues to let you know that, you know, God doesn't make mistakes, you'll be okay. But not a lot of children don't have parents in their homes that reinforce their beauty. And
right.
A lot of parents don't understand how much kids face on a playground, you know?
Right, right. Now, the other big question is, how can we see it? How can we see dark girls.
What we're doing now is we're taking it to cities. You know, Atlanta, Chicago, Oakland, Houston, other places. And what people are doing is we're putting a business model together. There's like, they'll hold in a large facility, a large church, or a large space that has, I would say, 15 to 3,500, sometimes 4,000 people. And we create a business model that benefits the community and also pays us back our investment. And we're taking it around. It's like a combination of like a Tyler Perry and Oscar Michaud combined, but we're doing it with a film.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have interest from, you know, distributors that want to put it possibly in theaters and on TV. But it's a grassroots movement. And if people are interested, they can definitely call us and let us know that, you know, they want the film to come there. And we come. It's not only screening the film, but many times we come with the film and have a half hour, 40-minute Q&A after.
Okay.
Because the film moves people, and women want to talk about these issues. One of the things that happened, I think you might be interested in, is that a few weeks ago when we were traveling with the film, after the film was over, this is a black woman that stood up, and she said to me in the Q&A session, "Why are you airing our dirty laundry?"
Mm.
And a lot of people feel this way. And my answer to her, in all due respect, was because the laundry is stinking up the house.
Mm. Yes. It's stinking up the house. That was an excellent response there. And it's getting to the streets. It's stinking up the community. That's a good... Bill Duke is on the phone line. Dark Girls, when did it first come out? When did you first release this movie?
It was at the Toronto International Film Festival late last year, and it was wonderful response. And since that, we've been going to different cities and really had some wonderful responses from audiences. And since we tried to get it done the Hollywood way. We took it out. We shot a trailer. Try to get people to support it, black and white. Nobody would touch it. They just wouldn't. They felt it was too controversial, all the rest of it. So my partner and myself took our own dollars, and we invested in the movie, and we're not sorry that we did. And it's been a blessing in many, many ways.
Wow. I know you only got a few more minutes left, so I'll make sure we get the most out of Bill Duke. This is a once-in-a-lifetime. I've been following you for a long time. You don't know, for me personally, to be able to talk to you and then to know that you are a conscious brother. Mm-hmm. That really makes me feel good.
Yes.
Yeah, because been in this industry, had not been in that long as you have, but I've seen the people who have some influence and don't use that influence to make positive change. I see what you're doing as a way to make positive change. You're talking to a radio station who had brought in a Frederick Douglass nephew who dealt with the psychological effect of slavery. Very controversial, but it's a fact that we still deal with some of the psychological damages that was done from that movement. And I really believe what you're talking about is still the effects of it.
I think you're totally right. I think of Willie Lynch and the institutionalized slavery, the consciousness we have today in terms of our self-worth and the tragedy that we're passing on to our children in terms of their self-worth. There are some statistics that sincerely disturb me. In certain school districts in this nation, 58 to 60% of our children in our communities are dropping out before they graduate.
Mm, mm, mm.
And that's in a global economy.
Right.
Grandma now, in many of our communities, grandma is 32.
Mm.
In Washington, of all of the AIDS cases in America with women, 70% are black women.
Mm.
And in Washington, D.C., one out of every five black men that's infected is a black man.
Wow.
These are some disturbing.
In Washington, D.C.
The problem doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
What bothers me is are not addressing it.
Right.
Now,
and it's very disturbing, you know.
Now, are you going to do one for dark men also, and light-skinned women and light-skinned men?
Yes, sir. I, three more films that we're trying to raise funds for right now. The next one's called Yellow Gals, which deals with what light-skinned women go through.
Yeah.
The second, the third one, and this is my one I'm very passionate about, it's called What is a Man?
Wow.
And it deals with the manhood from Hutch to the present day. And the next one is entitled What is a Woman? Which we call these things edutainment.
Yes.
In other words, we want to entertain people because you'll find humor in all of our films, you know, some interesting thoughts that are humorous. But at the same time, we want to combine them with issues that are impacting our communities. And we want to not tell people what to do, but give them another way of looking at things so they can make decisions based on a different context.
Well, I sure hope you look at getting a Roku channel. I don't know. I hope you're familiar with it. If not, I text it to you because I can subscribe to that. I can just get the Roku channel where everybody can get it, and they can just pay for the services and it make it easy. Yeah. So how can people
send that to me? I'd love to hear about that.
Yes. Yeah. I will. Tell us the website if people want to invest. If people want to contribute, what's the website?
If they go to officialdarkgirlsmovie.com. officialdarkgirlsmovie.com has the trailer there, testimonials by different women who have just said, you know, I'm relating to this, and there's a donation button, and that donation button actually will help us in distributing Dark Girls, but also in helping making our next three films. So we appreciate everyone's commitment to it.
We're going to make a contribution. We are. We're not a big radio station, but we're going to make a contribution just for the fact that I believe in what you're doing, and I know that you're going against the grain there in Hollywood. And
oh, yes.
I know what you're going through, bro. I know you got to go. I'm going to send you information on Roku, the new phenomenon on Internet TV, and I'm able to watch Nigerian stuff and Ghana stuff and stuff from other countries right on my TV at home, and it's the new phenomenon, and I can see you with a channel there. That way we can get all your information and watch all your movies when they come out and pay for it right on site.
I appreciate it. Please send me the information, and I want to say if it weren't for people like you helping to promote and market what we're doing, we could not do it. So I say God bless you, and thank you for your courage and support, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you, too. Thank you, too, sir. We'll be talking to you. Bill Duke, have a great day out there in sunny California.
God bless you both. Take care.
All right. God bless you. Yeah. Bye.